Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Michael, also for helping to organize the session. Appreciate being here. I wanted to talk about some indicators and maybe a little more statistical approach, try to assess what could be done. So we have these categories of functions or categories for to describe functions, and we certainly should have indicators in the biogeochemical realm, the physical, the chemical, the biological, and that's important. For chemical indicators, we can make a laundry list, and you can choose a lot of them. They have certain uses. For soil physical indicators, there's also this laundry list that is out there, and you can choose what is most appropriate for your situation, and many of them do need to be measured. And the biological indicators, these are maybe the older ones, the next generation. I don't still understand, but I'll leave you with that. But there are a long list of indicators that are possible. So in the end, we don't know necessarily what to choose, but I think many groups select something, and they go about their business. The biogeochemical, the physical, and the chemical are perhaps more straightforward. In traditional soil testing, we measure soil chemical properties. That's what happens. We don't. It's interesting that we don't actually measure physical properties through soil testing, but that's been an interesting relationship, and we should try to measure them. So these are relatively simple, and then the biological, as you've probably heard, and it confuses me sometimes, is it's maybe just too complex. What is it really that we're trying to get to? And it could be too complex, but we could also look for simplicity. So this talk is based on a group of ARS scientists that got together in response to a meeting we had at the Soil Health Institute. And so the Veronica Costa Martinez, Maysoon Mika in Colorado, Kristen Beam in Missouri, Mark Liebig up in North Dakota, and Michael Lehman here in South Dakota. So the idea that we had was to move east to west or west to east on a precipitation gradient and north to south on a temperature gradient and find out what we could do across locations. So our objective was to compare how various soil health indicators perform across a diversity of environments. We knew that we had studies, long-term studies, so we wanted to use long-term agricultural management sites as a basis for expressing differences in soil health. These were experiments that had published data already available. These were archive samples that we looked at, and that's perhaps one of the interesting things, the diversity that we have in our approaches is that with soil testing, traditional soil testing requires dried soil. It really should be stabilized, and so drying is the key ingredient there as a first step. And so in this case, we had dry soil from long-term studies. We had these archived soils so that we could actually do some new analyses on them, but we also had old data that we could rely on. And we wanted to limit it to just 3 or 4 replications and 3 to 5 treatments within each location to give us a boundary condition that would not be excessive but would express this diversity of environments, and then conduct various statistical analyses. So just to go through each site, in Mandan there were 5 treatments, and basically it was a simple a creation of a diversity gradient from simple on the top to more diverse and more enriched in carbon substrates with the number 5 treatment. In Colombia, we had there were also different treatments, whether it was minimum tillage, no tillage, or diversity of cropping system, and then ending with a hay system. In Brookings, it was a difference between a corn-soybean type of crop rotation and whether it was harvested for silage or for grain. So this difference in carbon input through the system and the quality of that input. In Georgia, when I selected some samples that were anywhere from the very surface sample to which were carbon-enriched under a tilled situation or whether it was no tillage or grazed pasture. And then the last site was with a gradient of fertilizer, of no inorganic fertilizer, fertilizer with manure, and at 3 different depths. So that gave us what we thought were a diversity of environments to consider. And all of these sites had published data, and the analyses were complete. But in my lab, we decided to run a few things to test out. And so we were looking at the biological activity of soil. That's the first 4 of them, at biological activity as well as biomass, because we had different measures of that biological activity, and We also had the opportunity, because this is what we do in our lab, is to have some biophysical properties of like particulate organic carbon and nitrogen, and then we had some nutrients and pH associated, just as a reference point, not necessarily as part of the analysis. And then Kristen was able to perform the permanganate oxidizable carbon as a chemical indicator of biological component, and then proteins. So this is an example of what was found in Mandan. It just serves as an example of what we went through for all of the locations. I mentioned that it's from simple to complex as far as the carbon substrates and the quantity. And so what I'm going to bring your attention to focus on in the rest of the presentation, is this relationship here. The treatment F value would indicate a higher treatment F value means that the treatments themselves could be differentiated. So statistically, we could actually say that there was a statistical difference there. And the CV, or the coefficient of variation, was just how variable was that analysis among the samples within the treatment. And that was, of course, across the whole experiment. So the coefficient of variation in this case for this short-term carbon mineralization, or the flush of CO2, was relatively low as a CV. It had a high treatment value, F value. And then if we looked at permanganate oxidizable carbon, you see the same general trend of the treatment arrangement. The F value was also high, maybe not quite as high, but the CV was a little bit lower. And so that meant that the procedure was well within its range. It would say that in this analysis, probably there would be a good differentiation among the treatments. And then further, if we went to protein, the same rank order occurred for the treatments. The treatment F value dropped down considerably. It was probably still significant, but the CV went up, and so we had a lot more random variation that was associated with it. So we went through all of that for all of the different sites, and I wanted to group them here. The top five are the green, which I would label as microbial biomass and activity, as actual direct measures of biological microbial biomass and activity. The blue ones are chemical indicators of biological component, and then the red ones on the bottom, or pink, are physical and chemical fractions, just as a reference to see what how they would vary. So I'm going to show you the F values for the each site individually. If they're in red, that meant they were statistically significant, and almost everything was statistically significant there. All of the biological activities were significant. Permanganate oxidizable carbon was very significant. Protein was not. And then you see that the sand fraction, because it's within a location, sand fraction, the F value, we wouldn't expect there would be a difference in sand fraction. It's the same site. Why would you expect it? So it was a reference point for us to say that, yes, it should not vary. But particulate organic carbon and nitrogen did, and inorganic nitrogen fractions. So this is nitrate, nitrogen only, and then inorganic is nitrate plus ammonium. And they did not vary. At Columbia, Missouri, we had some similarities and some differences. The flush of CO2 was significant, but many of the other biological indicators were not. The permanganate oxidizable carbon was very significant, and then also the particulate fractions. In Mandan, we had a lot, similar to Watkinsville, we had a lot of differences that occurred. In Scott's Bluff, there were some similarities and differences. And in Brookings, there were not as many differences, but I believe that if we looked at back at the treatments themselves, there were not necessarily strong differences in those treatments, because it was a, I believe, 4-year study, as I recall. And then what I wanted to show is that these are the ones that we would say that those in yellow and surrounded by the red outline would be the ones that were more consistent across there. There were all the out of the five sites, there were about four that were significant across locations. And so the flush of CO2, the carbon mineralization in 24 days, the permanganate oxidizable carbon, and the particulate fractions were the ones that would be considered the best indicators. But if we look at the site by treatment, now I mentioned that sand fraction, I just wanted to point that out. Within a site, it should be really low, because we should not have much difference. But when you go across sites, of course, then the texture varied. And so it was very significant. It was the highest one. But across sites also, the treatments were basically all very good. There was a good indication that there would be treatment differences with the biological indicators. And essentially everything was significant, right? This is not necessarily what I want to show, but I didn't know how to show it, but I wanted to show you that there was relationship among properties. So like within the flush of CO2 was related to basal soil respiration. It was related to carbon mineralization in 24 days. It was related to microbial biomass carbon and nitrogen mineralization. And that it was also more weakly related to permanganate oxidizable carbon and to protein. And so I've been using this method for a while, and I wanted to see essentially how it reacted. Permanganate oxidizable carbon was also relatively strongly related. It was not at the highest level, but it did show that there were strong relationships, so it is a possibility that we could use this as well. And then the other correlations are not necessarily important, but it does show that, like inorganic nitrogen, it's just randomly associated with our treatments, and it doesn't show much relationship there with biological activity. So another measure is coefficient of variation, and so I went through the same thing to show you that actually the biological properties were often very variable, or they were significant. And in this case, it's not really a categorization that we can quantitatively say that it's good or bad. We are choosing the lowest ones. So I chose the lowest three or four that were there, and that shows that sand fraction, we can do a pretty good job of characterizing texture. Okay, that's very good. But the other biological activities are also able to be done with pretty good precision, because we can repeat this. And so it just shows that at each location there were a set of analyses that were coming out as relatively low variation. If we can get to 10 to 15% variation, I think we're doing pretty good in soils and soil analyses in what would be considered diverse treatments, and oftentimes in a landscape approach. And so you see that at each location there were some consistencies and some dissimilarities, and again, I bring your attention to those that were more consistent. And the most consistent ones happen to be the same as before: the flush of CO2, the carbon mineralization in 24 days, the permanganate oxidizable carbon, and in this case, the sand, which of course was to be expected. We should do a pretty good job on that. And that was within site as well as across sites, and those came out really nicely. So in summary, certainly we have several soil biological indicators that are able to differentiate long-term management treatment differences, and there are some that are better than others, I would say. The flush of CO2, cumulative carbon mineralization, and permanganate oxidizable carbon, these were the ones, at least in this analysis — it was limited the number of analyses we did — but they were the most effective soil biological measurements to detect those differences in treatments. The soil microbial indicators were strongly related with each other, and certainly fairly well related with the chemical indicator of biology, that of permanganate oxidizable carbon. And the coefficient of variation of the flush of CO2, cumulative carbon mineralization, and permanganate oxidizable carbon, I think, are reasonably low. I mean, we'd like to get it better, but I think they're reasonably low. And I've just heard some commentaries that it's excessive, and I don't fully understand that. So statistical evaluations of data across sites in a long-term management systems, I think, is a reasonable approach, and it's something that we could consider in further evaluations to get more analyses and more sites included. So thanks very much.